This investment involves a high degree of risk and is only suitable for SEC-defined accredited investors.
Attention, high net worth investors. The dietary supplement industry is a $150 billion industry and growing. A key factor driving the market is that consumers are becoming increasingly focused on their personal health and well-being. What many don't know is that 75% of the supplements we ingest and depend on for good health are imported from China, where standards are lax and pollutants and heavy metals are not uncommon.
Hi, this is Joseph Hooper with Pure Country Natural Processors. We are committed to developing the highest quality control supplements at a competitive price right here in the heartland of America. Here's your chance to be part of a unique investment opportunity. Join us as we bring more manufacturing back here to the U.S.
For more information, go to pcnp.us. That's pcnp.us or call 800-833-1883. That's 800-833-1883. 800-833-1883.
Serious questions for the people running a Texas drag race after an accident killed two kids who were watching the race and left several more people hurt. ABC's Jim Ryan has the story from Dallas.
The event was not held on a traditional racetrack, but on a disused airport runway in the Texas Hill Country town of Kerrville. A Ford Mustang was racing another car when
came up across the crowd. Hit the kids, hit the other people that were there.
Local reporter Louis Amistoy says barricades set up alongside the makeshift track did not extend all the way to the end, and so
there was nothing there to stop him.
Two boys, ages 6 and 8, would die after being struck. Two of the injured were in critical condition. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
Home heating prices set to spike this winter. Natural gas expected to go up 35%. Heating oil could go up 60%, according to a government report. And home energy expert Andy Frank says things could get even more expensive depending on Mother Nature.
Your local utility companies often buy energy in advance in bulk based on what they expect the weather to be. But if the weather is more extreme, if it's colder than they expected, then they have to buy that energy on the open market, which is typically much more expensive.
Hertz is making a big jump into electric vehicles. The rental car company announcing it's buying 100,000 Tesla vehicles. It says the first of the Tesla Model 3 cars will be available to rent starting next month. This is ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues on Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Well, showers have returned in Seattle, and another blustery, wet day is ahead. Right now, the temperature is 54 degrees.
It's 8:04. Let's find out how the weather's affecting the drive this morning. Our Como traffic from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Kiara Jordan.
We continue to work with a crash in Renton on northbound 167, just north of 180th. It's blocking the right lane. It is an incredible visual distraction as well. A lot of vehicles on that side of the road. This is why you're sitting in such heavy traffic from 212th into the area. We are trying to recover from an earlier crash in Bellevue on northbound 405 near Southeast 8th. And this has left us with off and on slowing from the Valley Freeway into the area. Our current travel time from South Center into downtown Bellevue, it's taking just over an hour. We had a crash northbound I-5 at our off-ramp to MLK Jr. Way, partially blocking. It looks like that's now been cleared out of the way. We are working with a stall on southbound 405 as you're approaching I-5 in that Tukwila area. That's what's causing your backup right around the West Valley Highway. Now, northbound I-5 is crowding in Tacoma around 56 and again through City Center. Northbound I-5 is going to be heavy in Seattle from at least mid-Boeing Field to the Convention Center. This morning, we do not have the South Park Bridge. We have East Marginal closed between 86th and 14th due to downed utility poles. We have almost 3 mile backups on both northbound 99 and 509 as you are approaching the First Avenue South Bridge. Southbound I-5 is slow out of Linwood through Shoreline and crowding approaching Lake City Way, and southbound 405 brake lights out of Alderwood to State Route 522 and little pockets of slowing out of Totem Lake through Kirkland. Our next Como traffic out, 8:14.
We are expecting bands of blustery, wet weather today in western Washington with high temperatures somewhere around 55 degrees. We could be seeing gusts 30 to 40 miles an hour in some spots, especially on the coast and in the northwest interior where there's a high wind warning in effect. Tonight, more rain, and the rain continues Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for that matter. And as we check the Como weather radar, getting some pretty good rain around Olympia and all the way now up into the Seattle area. It's 54 degrees.
Como News Time 8:07. As long as we're talking about the weather, the winds over the weekend yesterday knocked out power to, at one point, more than 150,000 homes.
And Como's Carlene Johnson reports it was a deadly storm.
Joey Ross woke Sunday to the sound of trees coming down just outside her home, bringing down power lines, and sparks were flying.
I came out in my pajamas because I was worried someone would drive through it.
That was around the same time a tree 8 feet in diameter crushed a car on Preston Falls City Road, killing two people. Now, power crews have been out through the weekend making repairs when it's safe, but the long period of sustained winds has complicated that. Dana Felton at the National Weather Service.
Today, we actually had our strongest winds here in the central Puget Sound. We had a line of really strong showers come through in the middle of the afternoon. 45 to 55 miles an hour, that caused a lot of problems.
High winds will continue through the day today, gusting up to 40 miles an hour. The storm broke a record for the strongest low-pressure system they've ever recorded. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
There are still around 40,000 people without electricity this morning. The bulk of them are Puget Sound Energy customers, and the majority of those outages are in King and Pierce counties, especially hard-hit areas, Enumclaw, Graham, Issaquah, Orting, Redmond, Sammamish, Skykomish, and Snoqualmie.
Como News Time 8:08. There is a new public health mandate in effect in King County this morning. Como's Brian Calvert reports, in addition to masks, you'll need to prove one of two things before you enter some businesses.
According to King County Public Health, the vaccine proof or negative test result is required to enter the gym, movie theater, an entertainment venue, or dine inside a restaurant. Owner Jack Timmons says you don't really need this proof for takeout or...
There is a patio that's heated, so there's still an opportunity to go out to eat.
You also don't need to prove vaccine or test status at the grocery store and most stores, offices, and even banks. This woman says she's going to feel better about getting out there knowing everyone else is either vaccinated or not infected with COVID.
I have a mother who's high risk.
And people can go out and they can do things and, of course, spend some money and live their lives.
For those who have been vaccinated, you might consider making sure you have a photo of your vaccine card on your phone. That'll do. Or you can use the Clear app to register your vaccination, and that will give you a unique QR code to enter affected venues. Brian Calvert, Como News.
Here in Seattle, the Bruce Harrell for Mayor campaign is expressing outrage over an attack ad from Harrell's opponent, Lorena Gonzalez.
The Harrell campaign calls the ad exploitive and even racist. Como's Corwin Hake has more.
In the TV ad, a woman who says she is a rape survivor calls out Harrell for his support 4 years ago of former Seattle Mayor Ed Murray. Several men had accused Murray of sexually abusing them in years past. Now Harrell is condemning the ad.
It is crystal clear with an election just 10 or 11 days from now that my opponent is politicizing the victims of sexual violence. That's just wrong.
Local black leaders call the ad racist.
It was a disrespect to the entire black community.
Gerald Hankerson of the local NAACP points out the ad's rape survivor is white. He says that dredges up memories of how accusations from white women have led to persecution of black men. Gonzalez is defending the ad, saying in a statement, Harrell's response is, quote, another example of him denying the facts and discrediting a victim. Corwin Hake, Como News.
Como News Time 8:10. And let's get to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk. Eric Heintz is in for Tom.
It's another primetime game for the Seahawks as they host the NFC's New Orleans Saints. The last time these two teams met was in 2019, and this time, two different quarterbacks will be leading their respective offenses. Getting a second start for the Seahawks is Geno Smith in place of the injured Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston leads the Saints after the retirement of Drew Brees. At 2-4, the Seahawks need to win to keep from falling further behind in the NFC. For the 3-2 Saints, Winston threw for 279 yards and 4 touchdowns against Washington last week. Kickoff is 5:15 on ESPN. In other NFL games on Sunday, the Rams beat the Lions 28-19. Matthew Stafford threw for 334 yards and 3 TDs for the Rams. The Cardinals beat the Texans 31-5 with Kyler Murray passing for 261 yards and 3 scores. The 49ers lost to the Colts 30-18. The Huskies escaped Tucson with a 21-16 win over the Arizona Wildcats Saturday night. Terrell Bynum caught 5 passes for 143 yards and a touchdown. The Cougars lost to BYU 21-19. Max Borgi rushed for 83 yards and 3 touchdowns for the Cougs. And the Sounders lost to Sporting KC on Saturday 2-1. Sports at 10 and 40 minutes past the hour. I'm Eric Heintz, Como News.
Como News Time at 8:12. A cast member from the hit TV show Friends has died.
Sorry, she thought you were somebody else.
He was the actor best known as the ever-so-witty Gunther in the hit sitcom Friends.
I want somebody. You know, I want a man.
James Michael Tyler, passing away this weekend after a three-year-long battle with prostate cancer.
Spin the bottle works like this. I spin the bottle, lands on Gunther, so I would have to kiss Gunther.
In June, he had revealed he'd been undergoing treatment for stage 4 prostate cancer that began in 2018 and later spread to his spine. Gunther became a household name on the show.
Gunther, kiss me.
He was the bleach blonde barista working at the famed Central Perk, where he'd often profess his love for Rachel Green, played by Jennifer Aniston.
So basically, this is a getting rid of anything Rachel ever touched sale.
Touched, used, sat on, slept on.
I'll take it all.
Often competing against the roster of men who vied for Rachel's heart, including his arch nemesis, Ross.
Please tell me you didn't say anything to Rachel about me and the girl from the copy place.
I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to?
Overnight, the tributes pouring in. Jennifer Aniston saying, "Friends would not have been the same without you. Thank you for the laughter you brought to the show and to all of our lives. You will be so missed."
I just have to tell you, I love you.
Gunther. Oh, I love you too.
Matt LeBlanc writing, "We had a lot of laughs, buddy. You'll be missed. R.I.P., my friend." And Lisa Kudrow adding, "Thank you for being there for all of us." Inspired to help others after his diagnosis, Tyler and his wife became actively involved with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, educating men about early detection. In what would be Tyler's last major televised appearance, his fellow cast members lighting up when he virtually appeared on the HBO Max Friends reunion.
It was the most memorable 10 years of my life, honestly. I could not have imagined just a better experience. I felt very, very special.
Tyler was 59.
That's ABC's Janae Norman.
And Como News Time 8:14. We check traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours. And for a lot of folks, especially trying to get in or out of West Seattle this morning, Kiara, it's just been a nightmare.
It really has. What's happening is we had some utility poles go down. And because of this, East Marginal has been closed between 86th and 14th. And the South Park Bridge is closed. So almost everybody's heading for the First Avenue South Bridge. And this is why we've been seeing almost 3 mile backups on both northbound 99 and 509. As you're approaching that bridge, we've been seeing backups on Roxbury to Olson. Highland Park way into that area is struggling as well. So not a fast way to get out of that West Seattle area this morning. Now, I think that we might have a new crash on northbound 167, just north of 15th Street Northwest. I'm seeing an odd break in traffic there, one that I really shouldn't be seeing. And so that's what sort of piqued my curiosity. We've also been working with a crash on that Valley Freeway just north of 180th. That is definitely still blocking the right lane. That has you sitting in heavy traffic from 212. Northbound 405, slow and go from the Valley Freeway into Newcastle. And then we're heavy starting south of Coal Creek into downtown Bellevue. That's due to an earlier crash near Southeast 8th. Southbound 405, slow and go out of Alderwood through Canyon Park, through Bothell, and then busy again as you're coming out of the Kirkland area. If you are going from Everett into downtown Seattle, it's taking about 45 minutes. Federal Way to Seattle, also about a 45-minute commute. Our next Como traffic out, 8:24.
Our report this time is sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all drain cleaning and sewer repair. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN' and stop freaking. Call Beacon.
We're expecting a couple of waves of really breezy, rainy weather again today. We're just at the beginning of the first wave here in Seattle as the showers continue with a high around 55 degrees. By this afternoon, we're expecting plenty of rain and probably some really gusty winds in some spots as you try to get home. Now, right now in downtown Seattle, with some showers, it's 54 degrees.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
It is 8:17. It's Monday morning. Greg Hirschholt and Amanda Factor here, along with Frank Lenzi at the editor's desk.
A camera operator told authorities that Alec Baldwin had been careful with weapons on the set of the film Rust before the actor shot and killed a cinematographer with a gun he'd been told was safe to use. That's according to court records released Sunday, and we get more from ABC's Amy Robach.
For more, let's bring in Dan Abrams, ABC News chief legal analyst, and film prop master Dutch Merrick. Thank you both for being with us. Dan, I'm going to begin with you because there are obviously a lot of legal questions to sort through, namely, first and foremost, will Alec Baldwin face criminal charges in this?
Right, so let's separate out Alec Baldwin, the actor, versus Alec Baldwin, the producer. In either case, you need negligence. You need something he should have done that he didn't do, or he did something that he shouldn't have done. Based on what we learned from those search warrants, it does seem Alec Baldwin, the actor, didn't do anything, if everything is accurate there, wrong, meaning someone yells cold gun, meaning there is no, it's not an issue. Secondly, he then acts out the scene exactly as he's supposed to, and then pulls the trigger. If that's true, there's not going to be any criminal responsibility for Alec Baldwin, the actor. But Alec Baldwin, the producer, is a separate question. The question becomes, how did this happen on the set? Who was responsible for it? Were there protocol issues that were happening? Did they have knowledge of problems with safety on the set? Those are all issues that are going to have to be asked, because there has been another case in 2015 where a director and a producer and others were charged criminally because of lack of safety protocols while filming a movie.
Let's talk about those protocols right now with Dutch. And Dutch, first of all, is it possible that live ammunition could actually be on set? Walk us through who's responsible for making sure that doesn't happen.
Well, firstly, it's a very somber moment in Hollywood. Everybody, Hollywood is a very tight family nationwide, and this ripples through all of us. There's almost no reason for a live ammunition on a set. And I say almost because it's extremely rare when they use a live ammunition shot. It's very specific. And there's a very thorough chain of events, a chain of command of who handles the firearms. First and foremost is the armorer. They're ultimately responsible for the guns, and they hand the guns directly to the actor. They let them know that they're cold or hot, whether they have blanks in them or not. They would never have it during rehearsal. The ultimate arbiter of safety on a set is the first assistant director. Everything boils down to them. They wear that. And a first assistant director grabbing a gun off a cart is unheard of in Hollywood. This doesn't meet the safety standards that we do every single day in Hollywood. Hundreds of thousands of rounds are shot month in and month out in films, motion pictures, and we do it safely. We've done it for 100 years. There's clearly been a breach. Why there was live actual ammunition on the set? I mean, our minds, the armorer community, we've been talking about this for the last few days, trying to brainstorm, why would this happen? Somebody brought a box of ammo? Was someone doing a gun demonstration on the set out in the desert with live ammo? It's really hard to say. Our job is to create a safe environment for the actors so that they can go home with the trophy. They can play fully when they know it's as real as possible, but ultimately it's safe and nobody's going to get hurt.
Well, Dan, as Dutch explains here, that's almost it's inexplicable for a live round, not just to be in the gun, but even to be on set. So you talked about criminal charges, but when you talk about a civil case here, who is now responsible? You talk about Alec Baldwin, the producer, but it's an independent film. Who is ultimately responsible, could be held that type of liable for?
I expect that there will be a civil case, that there will be civil damages awarded in connection with this because of exactly what Dutch just said, which is there is no good explanation for how it ended up there. Someone did something wrong. There was some negligence at the least on that set, and as a result, I expect at the least that there will be a civil case with damages paid out.
Dan and Dutch, thank you both very much.
ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
Como News Time 8:21. Time for the Propel Insurance Money Update. A big order this morning for electric cars by the Hertz Rental Car Company. Hertz is ordering 100,000 Teslas, and that has been a good move for the stock price for both companies. As of this morning, Hertz stock is up more than 7%. Tesla is up 6.7%. And industry analysts say it's probably going to be a good deal for both companies because the Hertz will be able to pay, or rather charge, a premium rental price for Teslas because they're so desirable. And it's good for Tesla, they say, because it'll open up a new market to people that might want to rent a Tesla and then potentially could become a buyer of a Tesla.
A shipping vessel that lost 40 shipping containers off Washington's coast had to be evacuated after fire broke out on the boat. The Canadian Coast Guard says 16 people were evacuated from the MV Zim Kingston near Victoria. A total of 40 shipping containers fell off the ship Friday. They're currently about 21 nautical miles off the west coast of Vancouver Island.
Stocks are in positive territory this morning. The biggest gains are the NASDAQ stocks. That index is up about 0.5%. Or 77 points. The S&P is up 0.3%, and the Dow is up about 49 points, about 1.5, 0.15%.
Our traffic and weather up next. Como News Time 822.